Welcome, Sacramento Foodies, to State of the Food, your podcast for all things food. So let's go ahead and get right to it. And I want to start with our usual opening of what it is that you had this past weekend. Share either a business or someone who cooked a really delicious meal that you just want to share briefly what it was and just get people in that mindset of, hey, I want to cook that, or I want to go to that restaurant and maybe order the same thing that you did. So join us today, as usual, our co-hosts, Sharon, Jared, and John. First, let's go over to the city of Elk Grove to hear more about what Sharon ate this past weekend. And how are you doing, Sharon?
Hey, I'm doing great. And boy, did I eat, and I ate well. Friday started out a banger. I got invited to go to Bruxy in Davis. And as we all know, Ryan Strange has been dying to get this place opened. And during training session, we ate pretty much everything on the menu. And if next time you see me, I weigh 250 pounds. I'm blaming it on Bruxy because their food is so killer. I swear I'm going to go back. You all need to go. It's in Davis. It's right in that heart core, like right when you get off the freeway. There's that one. Also, I want to give a shout out the catering this last weekend at a soccer game that I attended was done by Hidden Table. The catering, Hidden Table, if you get a chance to eat their food, their chicken marsala is off the chain and their beef bourguignon. Did I say that right, Jared? Beef burgundy, beef bourguignon? I don't know how to pronounce it. You do. You speak French. Yeah. So, I mean, if you get a chance, catering, Hidden Table is awesome. Bruxy and Davis. I am happy girl. John, what did you have over the weekend that you would love to share with others that you think, well, I know you cooked.
Well, yeah, we cooked and had a lot of food. Probably Kathy's mother makes this 24-hour ham hock and baked bean. So
make my mouth water.
That's phenomenal. That goes with the ham, and you have five or six different types of salads and deviled eggs and all that good stuff. But of course, you have to polish that off with some good cheeseburgers and at night. So, we finished up with that. And, and then just, as part of, to me, it's food, it's dessert. I had a nice Willet bourbon at the end of the evening to, chase it all down and make it all really good.
State of the food and drink. Love it.
Yes.
Let's go to Arizona.
Well, when it wasn't raining this Easter weekend, it was actually a pretty good food weekend. I had cashed in quite a few of my birthday freebies just in Avondale alone. Had gotten, it was supposed to be a pulled pork sandwich, but it ended up being brisket because they were waiting for it to cook from Dickie's Barbecue Pit. Also ended up getting a massive chunk of chocolate cake from Portillo's, which is a great Italian restaurant chain based out of Chicago. Excellent Italian beef and sausage kind of combo. Got to hit that up forever in Avondale. But also this past Sunday, actually yesterday as of recording time, we decided to go to Village Inn, which is a chain kind of similar to best way to think of it, kind of like a Caro's or a Coco's almost. It's basically a sit-down type restaurant. We'd gotten their family pot roast dinner. We just had it ordered to go, and it is amazing. I mean, there's some of the pieces of the roast have a good amount of fat in them, not too much. Good portions. Mashed potatoes, I mean, easily a couple pounds worth, but amazing. Broccoli was just perfect. I mean, usually most places that cook broccoli, it's all soggy and everything at the end. But no, this was perfectly crisp, not too damp or anything like that. And the gravy was excellent. And of course, you got to get pie when you're at Village Inn. So if anyone travels outside of California and spots a Village Inn, definitely hit them up for breakfast or pie. But yeah, that's pretty much the majority of this weekend here.
Yeah, and of course, I didn't go to Sacramento, but still had really amazing food. I actually had my girlfriend's amazing mac and cheese, and she also did some mango wraps. We spent Easter at her family's, and they cooked some really good food, grilled chicken, carne asada, the traditional Mexican party food, which was really amazing. I also went to one of my favorite sushi burrito spots in the 209. yummy sushi burrito in Stockton. If you guys haven't tried sushi burritos, you need to try them, you know, whether it's there or somewhere else, because if you love sushi, you're going to love the sushi burritos. And in fact, you get more of your money's worth with a sushi burrito than a regular.
Boy, we talked about food for a long time. Luis, come on.
Yeah, we sure did, y'all. And just so you guys don't think we're actually going to be talking more about it, well, in terms of state of the food, it might actually eventually be a thing. But for today, happy April Fool's Day, everyone. Now, let's go ahead and get started with your regularly scheduled programming. Welcome, Sacramento soccer fans, to the State of the Republic podcast. I'm your host, Luis. And in today's episode, we are going to be talking about our 1-0 win last Saturday against Memphis in what marked, I believe, the first time that Memphis visits SAC, if I'm not mistaken. But we will also be visiting Tennessee later on in the season because Memphis is now in the West. Still mind-boggling how that happened, but I get it. They wanted to have equal teams. It's just really weird to say that Tennessee is in the West. Anyhow, along with that, we're also going to be talking about our upcoming opponent, Sacramento Switchbacks, our travels over there to Colorado. And as we know, not an easy place to play at, especially with that altitude that has been really rough on us a lot of times when we've gone over there. And joining us is John, who will also be bringing us some updates on our sibling team, Huddersfield Town. It's been a week or two since we haven't heard a lot from them, so we have them here to help us out, understand what their scenario is looking like as they get close to the end of the season, which is always the most stressful time, especially when you're down there fighting for fighting to save yourself from relegation, which is always an epic battle amongst all the teams that are down there. So let's go ahead and introduce our team today, Sharon, Jared, and John. But first, as is usual here, whenever we have a special guest, we go first to that individual. John, how's it going? Welcome back.
Thanks for inviting me. It's been it's really great having this opportunity, and it's been running really well. You know, we've got a nice bright sun and nice everything else outside today. So got through the thunderstorm on Saturday and everything looked good after that.
That's excellent. John, you say it's a pleasure to be on, or it's an honor to be on, but it's actually we honor you for stepping up and stepping in to join us. We really love it. You know, we talk about you all the time, and even off microphone, we say, oh, we got to get John back on, you know, and one day we will have Rion and you and us all on the same thing. And you and Rion can go geek out together while the rest of us just sit and listen and learn, because you guys are like incredible with, you know, the memory and the stats and the, you know, all the little details of this and that and the other thing. But yeah, so it's great having you on. And yeah, I'm Sharon, and I've got some fun things to talk about in a wee bit. Jared, how's it going for you?
Doing good. It's getting to be a little busy here with the big move, but definitely loved watching the game this past Saturday. I mean, it was definitely tumultuous, especially the second half, but we ended up muscling our way into the win column again. So can't wait to get into it.
Did it look like we were playing San Antonio?
See, I'm not the only one that was thinking that as well in the second half. I mean, especially with as many yellow cards were flying.
And our guys were getting smacked around and beat up and spun around and jersey pulled. And, you know, all of our kits are probably ruined. They're probably ripped and torn. And, you know, the shorts have been pulled down. I don't know. We were hoping for it. Not we, but whatever. Got to keep it PG. Sorry, Luis. We always comment about Jack's shorts, but anyhow, it was a rough match, especially when you're watching it live and in person, where you're seeing your squad getting kind of beat up. Luis, what did you see?
Well, I didn't get the chance to actually like see it live when it happened, but in going back and watching the recap and all, I saw us as being superior. But to your point, yeah, I mean, I saw a few fouls and the whole jersey pulling. I feel like that happens in every single game we've had this season. There's been someone trying to yank someone's jersey that we should probably tell the team to make sure that we're stocked up with jerseys, because I think even the home jersey might be flying off the shelves, because apparently, you know, players from other teams also want the jersey, and we have limitations on, you know, how many players we can add to the roster each season. So it's rough, I know, for the rest of the players to have to play for other teams. Yeah,
that was nuts. That's hilarious. That's good. I like that. Yeah, instead of doing the jersey exchange after the game, they're trying to get it during the game. Okay, that was good, Luis.
Yeah, I mean, they probably could. I know you said that, you know, most players, they usually have a spare jersey, right, in case they need to change it. So, but it's like you only have one after that. So don't give that one away for sure. Yeah, I get it. You know, the white jersey is really cool. Yeah, but yeah, I guess the red jersey is enjoyed by other players too. We just don't like it as much, but others do. Well, let's go ahead and introduce Goloss of Gratitude, Sharon. So please feel free to introduce it.
Hey everybody, it's time for Golosses of Gratitude, where we take a minute and sound off our gratitude for something that's happened in our lives or something about soccer. It's an open field. Golosses of Gratitude, here we go. And on that note, I'll just kick it off. Again, you heard earlier, if you were listening, Ryan Strange, Bruxy, thank you so much for filling my belly over and over and over. It was like a 90-minute meal sitting on a bench, eating on a chair, because they're in the training stages, so nothing is, you know, quite ready for official customers. It was great. Saturday, 47 people, a lot of them were children, showed up for a cleanup. Big, huge glows of gratitude for the Saturday cleanup. And then thank you, Sac Republic, for listening to all of us fans and stocking the shelves with the warm-up top. That thing is off the chart. It's beautiful. I wore it. It must have been the whole stadium that who bought a jersey. They bought that one, the warm-up tops. It was beautiful, and it fits so perfectly. The women's cut is really nice. I'm just happy about that they listened to us. Once again, shout out to Michael Donato and Nicole, who manage the premium seating. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, say anything weird, but I have one VIP ticket so I can go chat with my friends who sit in VIP, like Bridget and Ted, blah, blah, blah. And they just were so good. They were so good. Todd, you know, giving us a warm greeting. And, you know, the folks are starting to ask us our opinions on the fly. I mean, I went by Amy, they asked, you know, what did you think of blah, something? And Michael Donato asked me a question, same thing, you know, like how was my experience? And, you know, I forget what he asked me, but it was just like, it was so cool. Oh, US Open Cup. He was asking me some questions because we're going to be entering the round of 32 instead of the round of 64. So he was totally picking my brain about how the ticketing, you know, it was kind of cool. We've never had that kind of engagement live at the stadium in the past. Well, in the near past, you know, in the old past, yes, because Warren Smith was everywhere, right? So this was really sweet to have all that. And then all the friends and family that feels like family. But I got to tell you, Maurice, do you remember Maurice, Luis, having him on the podcast as a guest? He was a long time ago. His name was Maurice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember him, yeah.
As I'm walking by, he's down there with Bridget in the fan of the match kind of a thing. They're down in the front watching the warm-ups like I did for my birthday last year. John, you remember that? And I didn't know that's who it was because we didn't see him in person. We just had him on the podcast. He listens to me talk to Bridget and he goes, I know your voice. I know your voice. I know you from somewhere. And he goes, you're on that podcast. And it's like, yeah. So I give him stickers and it was so cool. So I want to thank him for recognizing me so that we could take pictures and go forward. So yeah, that's it. Thanks. John, what about you?
Make sure I'm unmuted. Most of my issues, thanks are for folks close to me. My family and fiance's family that were having a really great weekend this last weekend. We had, you know, 30 relatives or very close friends all got together. So wonderful weekend. And thank you to our soccer group that, you know, somebody was able to take my tickets so that I do not want them to go empty when I can't make it. So they will be given away when we can. So, you know, I guess we can do some trading and stuff too, but it's just so much easier this way. I want to thank actually one of my fellow Kiwanis members, who Liz Schmall. She went out and got a half season ticket, so that got some more people rolling in and out of the stadium. So, you know, she always heard me talk about it. So now she and her husband are going. Other than that, just it's been a great weekend. My granddaughter's doing great, and that's always fun to see. And everybody got home, so I'm living life like a dream here. And of course, I want to thank the Anteaters, the baseball team. You know, switch sports here a little bit. They just swept Hawaii this last weekend and got moved up to 16th in the nation. So there's only two West Coast teams that are in the top 25. So, and one of them's those lowly Anteaters, that in Oregon State. So
good old UC Irvine.
Yep.
Right. Well, as far as on my end of the scale here, I definitely want to give a big shout, colossal gratitude to the contractor that was able to get me this temporary job for the past a little over a month or so. Definitely a great experience being able to work in a secure area that I have where I was. Also, a big wads of gratitude to not only the food businesses, but also other businesses that I was able to peruse and collect some birthday freebies from over the past week. So definitely big wads of gratitude to those folks. Very helpful. And also to the club, just like Sharon said, for making the warm-up kit available. And I know I will probably get some negative opinions about it, but I'm sorry, the home kit makes me want to go and get an extra large coffee from Circle K just looking at the kits. I mean, the design, I mean, it just hit me one random morning while I was at work looking at the design and then picturing our kits. Like, all right, if it's going to be like this, where is our inner circle rewards for going to a Republic FC match? I mean, we like free coffee. We like free drinks. Or do we have to partner with the Quick Trip? Oh, wait, they're not in California. But yeah, those are definitely some of the bigger glasses of gratitude that I have. I'm sure I might have some later on. But oh, one more to Sharon for clarifying some of the rules in regard to the winter dinner, because there was a bit of a, how can I put it this way? There was definitely a challenge moment to it as far as the score goes. But we'll talk more about that when the time comes as far as the podcast Chicken Dinner Winner. So we will discuss that a little further.
Whoops.
Yeah, there was a point that was given, but then it was removed. So, yeah, we'll be discussing that.
It was like the last minute offsides call when you thought you scored a goal. Isn't it ironic? No, sorry. Alanis Morissette, sorry.
Yeah, which Jared would have been offside if it weren't for you, Sharon. Yeah. I mean, sorry. Jared was offside thanks to you doing the call, Sharon, because me and the VAR, I was like, I didn't see anything. So thankfully you
my flag was up. Dude, my flag was, I was waving that offside flag. And finally the center official, which was you, Luis, got wind of it. Jared, so John, just so you know, Jared thought he got a point because he thought that he picked the goal scorer, and I believe that's what you thought you had done. But what he did was he picked Trevor as his goal scorer, and his backup was Ricketts.
Yeah, and Jonathan Ricketts.
Yeah, Jonathan Ricketts. And so he thought that, okay, Trevor didn't get a goal, but he picked Jonathan Ricketts as the back. Well, the backup only counts if your first guy was like, didn't see the pitch or was injured the whole entire time, didn't even get on the pitch. Then you get a second chance. So I had to kind of point out the, sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll talk more about what the standings are looking like and maybe why that happened. I think that explains a little bit more about.
Yeah, but I still suck. I'm at the bottom of the barrel. I had nothing to gain by pulling the point. Anyhow, we'll go there in a bit.
Well, just to be a little closer to Jared, I think that's why. But for my colossal gratitude, first one goes out to Mother Nature. And it's the first time that I'm actually saying that. But this past weekend, even though certain places had not as great weather, we had that storm and all, on Saturday, I was able to actually witness one of those special moments that is unexpected. And I'm so glad I was with my girlfriend when that happened. But we saw a double rainbow and it was epic. I've never experienced that before. And when I mean double rainbow, I mean two solid double rainbows that are, you know, clearly visible, not just parts. So that was a really great moment there. Also to her and her family for actually having an awesome Easter party. And it's been a while since I've been able to attend an Easter party. Most of the time I'm just at home. So that it felt really great to be able to celebrate Easter with their family. Also to the team for that warm-up jersey, I'm glad that they listened to the fans who asked for it. I mean, we know Sharon asked for it multiple times here in that one episode. So I'm glad that the team made sure that they released the jersey in pretty quick time. I mean, they just asked for it like 2 weeks ago, maybe, and they sped through it and they made sure that jersey was available before people maybe forgot about it or got tired of waiting for it or spend their money on the home jersey, which I'm sure is not going to be sold as much, sadly. Also, another one goes out to the listeners for still listening to us now, despite the intro with food. Not that maybe there's people that wouldn't like that, because who doesn't like to eat food? I mean, listen to things about food, especially when you're going to games. But still, thank you to those who are still listening to us now. And I hope it wasn't a major April Fool's joke. And then one more goes out to, I believe I would say, Central Valley Fuego for actually deciding to host their Open Cup match, which will actually be tomorrow at the UC Merced Soccer Stadium or Soccer Fields, I should say, because I think it's just fields that they have there. But shout out to them, because it's really awesome that they actually decided to move the game somewhere here in the 209 and specifically here in the Central Valley as well. And I'm sure it was maybe more of their decision versus El Farolito, because I feel like Farolito would have tried their best to keep it somewhere in the Bay Area. But the fact that they're doing it there is really awesome. And if you're able to go, go. I wish I could go. Unfortunately, I'm not able to. But if you're in the area, then definitely go check out a game, because that's going to be a really great game that will be happening on Tuesday, so tomorrow as of this recording here. So definitely tune into that game. That's that. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into talking about Saturday's game. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to attend it. But Sharon, you did attend it out of all of us here. So tell us more about how it went, your observations, and how the crowd looked like on Saturday.
So that's interesting, because that was a question that somebody asked me, Caroline over there in the merchandise area. She asked how full the stadium was. And I, you know, for an Easter weekend, for a holiday weekend, there actually were quite a few people there. I mean, there were some little spots, you know, here and there, but it felt vibrant. It felt very full. The lineup is one of my favorite lineups, and I've got to give props to Lee Desmond, who continues every day. It seems like from last year's injuries, he seems every day to become the Lee we remember, the fast, wily, win every head ball, make no mistakes, Lee Desmond. He was great. And you know, he's got the scars to prove it. I got a chance to talk with him up close. And man, you know, he busts his head open pretty much every season or twice a season. And he just keeps coming back. He's amazing. So it's like one of my favorite lineups ever, you know, with the exception. Okay, so Roro started this time. Chris Pirano came in late. Domi came in late. And Domi was, he played like he was getting stuck in. He was a different Domi than what I remember. I think when you see Roro doing these amazing tackles and getting stuck in, I think it rubs off on the guys, because they see him being fearless and they're like, oh, no, I can do this too. you know, and the turf is good enough that they can do those sorts of things and not worry about getting, at this point in the season, they're not worried about getting cut up by crap in the field, you know, from concerts and things like that. The field was good. It was a little mushy because it had rained. I mean, literally just before we all got there, there were downpours happening here and there and thunderstorms and, you know, all of that good stuff. We thought we were getting a sprinkle while we were out there, but it kind of passed. I will say it was a beautiful match. The first half, they had us on the ropes. Okay, the game, the gestalt of the game was we weren't expecting them to put the pressure on the way that they did in the first 10 minutes. We did not recover quickly from that. The play was all down in our defensive third, it seemed like. I mean, there were a couple times we would break free, but we weren't maintaining possession until a little while later. So it was frustrating as a fan to watch that, you know, because that didn't feel like our squad, yet we had a really strong lineup. Of course, nothing went in. You know, we've got Danny, we've got our defenders, and we had the guys dropping back. The transition was tough. And actually, Mark, one of the things that I noticed because of where I sit, I can hear him talking to the players. So he was actually giving guidance to the guys to get them settled, to pass to this person, pass to Jared. Jared, give it to so-and-so. Because I think they were rattled because of the pressure Memphis put on them. And John, when you rewatched the match, and Jared, when you were watching the match, did you see the pressure we were under and how we weren't figuring it out right away until I think Mark got us settled? Okay, right? Is that your observation,
agreed,
guys?
Agreed. You could hear Mark yelling things out even over the broadcast. And it was sort of a herky-jerky type of flow. And that was because even though they didn't have full strength in their defenders, they were getting in the passing lanes. And because there was enough pressure on them, the passes were not sharp and crisp. They were a little bit slow or a little bit too hard. So things were not, it did not flow as a result. And they were able then to, take it away at that point or get it out of play. At least that, the way I saw it. And they were able to isolate a few guys that, the ball couldn't even find them. So I think good call.
Yeah. It was a little slow going, first portion of the first half. I mean, given the fact that they really don't have a whole lot of experience playing against Memphis, this is only their second match ever against them. Last year they played them and ended up being a 1-1 draw. So I think it was just, trying to decipher, trying to contrast their opponents, trying to figure out the playing styles and apply it accordingly. And it just wasn't exactly a 2-minute task for Republic FC. But ultimately, they got in the swing of things middle of the first half and kept up with Memphis, but put quite a bit of pressure on them in the attack end. And really, it didn't seem like that after the first half, there wasn't too bad of an attack from Memphis, although they certainly did try a few shots here and there. But this was still a fairly leveled match between the two. I mean, I know Memphis is now on a little bit of a downside, but they were holding their own for a little bit earlier on in the season.
Yeah, and I got to correct myself. That's actually the second time they traveled to Sacramento. That 1-1 tie actually was from last year, and we play against them again towards the end of the season, October 12th. So still quite some time again. But I mean, in looking at the stats, the trend continues, right? We had more of the possession, 57%, versus 43%. A lot more shots, 14 versus 5, 4 of those on target for us. And more of the great opportunities were on our side, which is always a good sign, right? They didn't have a crossbar. They didn't have other. Actually, the only clear opportunity that they may have had, which I think hats off, this another one for the highlight reel for Danny, was in the 79th minute. And I want to hear your thoughts, Sharon, especially people there at the stadium, because I know that when Danny makes those really epic saves, it's like the whole stadium, you take a sigh of relief, right? Because It's oh, we screamed. Really epic.
We were screaming. We didn't sigh. We saw that ball going in, and it was like, Danny, it was just, everybody jumped up out of their seats and started waving their flags and their banners, because Danny himself is a reason to celebrate. When he does stuff like that, the whole, and John, you know, because you go to the games a lot, and Luis, you'll get used to this because you'll be in the stands a whole lot more. When Danny does crap like that, I mean, it's not crap, it's good. It's just like, he denies such good goal scoring opportunities just because he's such a cat. You know, you've seen the memes of cats not letting things get past them. That's Danny. He's so incredible. But the crowd didn't sigh. We screamed because we saw that ball going in and we saw, oh crap, they're going to tie it up. And then there was Danny, and there was no way he was going to let anything in that net. See, Danny has this capability, and I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. His concentration for 90 minutes or over the course of the whole game, he doesn't get distracted. He doesn't lose concentration. You know, there are guys on the field, their concentration wanes, and I can name a few, but I won't because we'll talk about it in a little bit because I want John to name them and then I'll agree. Anyhow, we have players that do lose concentration. Danny's not one of them. And that's why he's a Golden Glove winner twice, you know, for USL. And that's why he's with us. And that's probably why we signed him to a longer contract, is because he does not lose concentration. Anyhow.
Now I will say it was an epic save too, but before the save happened, I think we just need to be careful with plays like this, because I feel like, sure, the guy who ends up doing the pass, it's one of those wonder passes that you don't typically see someone just like lift the ball up and the other guy just back heel pass it. But the guy who ends up doing the back heel pass, he was left alone a little bit too much, right? Like the guy who ends up doing that pass, that aerial pass, had three guys on him. The other guy only had Jared Timmer, and you can only do so much, right? But we just can't let someone just have that much opportunity to just get in front of our players and do a back heel pass like that. Because then the guy who shoots also had a clear shot at goal. In fact, that was a bad miss on that guy's part, because he could have shot anywhere else. And maybe Danny doesn't stop it, right? If it goes to like the upper left corner, it would have been done for. So
you're right.
I'm going to jump in and just say, we got to give Memphis credit where credit's due. This was a great play. They had every spot covered. And if it wasn't for the fact we had two defenders crashing in, basically making a small hole for the shot to be able to go through, Danny wouldn't have been able to make the save, because Danny was right in that hole between the two defenders. And the only place the ball could go was right to Danny.
So you're right. You're right. We got to give props to Memphis for framing the goal correctly, and how you're right, Luis. We had some guys lose their marks. We didn't have anybody paying attention to the attacking midfielder, you know, the shot taker. Nobody was picking that person up until too late. It was almost like too late. Right, John?
Right. And as I said, you know, sometimes you got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, Memphis had a couple of really good plays in this game. Fortunately, we were able to stop. You know, yes, we make mistakes too. But, you know, I'm not one who gives Lee a lot of credit. But Lee closed that hole down quick. And so, you know, all the guy had was a, you know, 6 foot wide area to be able to shoot it. And so Danny could cover that.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, Memphis, they saw glimmer of hope. They were able to exploit it, set it up beautifully with that back heel. But thankfully, you know, we've got the 2023 USL champion Golden Glove winner in Danny, basically keeping all of our medical sponsors' bankrolls rolling with that dramatic save. I'm just glad I'm good on my lisinopril, you know, with that high blood pressure rate inducing save he made. So I'm just glad he's on our side. But yeah, I mean, this play with Memphis, I mean, they set it up perfectly. They caught a couple of our defenders a little occupied right there with that back heel Memphis had. If that accuracy from Memphis' attacker was just a little bit better, or if they just moved, pushed it a little bit to the left or right by a few inches, I mean, we'd be talking a goal for Memphis here.
Yeah, and potentially a goal of the week candidate too, because of the whole play and all that. So let's try to avoid those goals, because we've been known to actually, you know, provide wonder goals for other teams whenever the few times we get scored on, right? But I guess that's what it takes for us to actually get scored on, right? It's like a wonder goal. But
so before you move on, did you notice one of the other defenders who was back there was number 17? One of the other defenders that was trying to close down. There he is.
Yeah, Ricketts. Yeah, who would score a few minutes after. Yeah.
Yes. Let's talk about that. That yes. I just kind of want to point out that Ricketts was making a recovery run, which mm-hmm. is something that, you know, they're supposed to do. So he was working on it.
Yeah, I'm glad that you point that out, just because, you know, again, ironically, like 9 minutes later, he's over there scoring a goal.
Yeah.
After, you know, going back, and that's what you got to do, right?
Yeah.
We like those players that run up and down, right? It doesn't matter what position you play. When you have that need to be back there, you are back there, especially in those final 15, 20 minutes where, like, the situation gets a little diary, right? With both teams going at it, trying to get that goal that will get them the win, right? Essentially, because it's almost like goal wins at that point, since you have very few minutes left afterwards. But moving on to that goal that Ricketts scores in the 87th minute, starts off with a free kick. Who else but Roro to do those free kicks? I mean, the guy knows where to put the ball, whether it's him like shooting directly at goal or just crossing the ball in a free kick. He did it here. And in looking at the replay, I saw it a few times because I wanted to see exactly how Ricketts scored that goal. I didn't know if it was his chest, stomach, what happened. And I don't know, Sharon, what you guys saw from your point of view. I mean, just seeing the replay, seeing the view that I'm seeing here, it was really difficult to really find out how he scored it. And even looking at the other replays, it's so quick that I'm like, I don't know what he did, but he scored it. Yeah, he didn't use his hands, at least.
So the cool thing about this goal for us, we had no idea from where we sat. If you were in TBB, you knew everything that happened. We thought it went in first time when he first chested it towards the keeper, and the keeper made that save. It was a deflection or, you know, initial save. And then the ball bounces right back to Ricketts, and in the most awkward way he could, he taps it with his left foot, and it could have easily gone wrong, but it didn't. It went in the back of the net. So he used a body part. Well, and so it was delayed. There was half the stadium down at that end that knew the ball had gone in, and none of us where we were could tell because we couldn't see it, right? But we thought it went in the first time first. So we're getting all excited about this melee. And then TBB people are screaming their heads off. And, you know, Ricketts is running, you know, away from where he scored the thing. And so it's like, we had to wait. It's like the confirmation. It was like playing telephone. It took a while for it to get to us that he actually scored a goal when other people are already celebrating. So it was a roar that was beyond compare. It was very similar to when Danny Vidiola made that save, you know, to keep Memphis from scoring. But it was a very interesting thing. Section 105 sometimes, and they don't have the Jumbotron yet. So that'd be one thing I would say. Get the Jumbotron. Hurry up and get the big guy fixed, because that little tiny screen, you know, you're squinting and using binoculars to see it, you know, from a distance. It's like watching being at somebody's house and they only have a 36-inch, you know, TV when you're expecting a 72-inch kind of thing. So whatever.
And I will add that the experience that Sharon just described as far as waiting for confirmation, that is exactly what I go through whenever I go onto the Discord watch party, because the other participants that are watching, they're basically watching it as it happens. And in my feed, and this was even with I think it might have been with Galazzo in the past, but it seems like my feed is 30 to 60 seconds behind everybody. So I hear my headphones, everybody cheering, yeah, we scored, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm still waiting on the TV to watch it. So like almost a minute later, yes, yes. So it's like that delayed reaction. So Sharon described it perfectly, having to wait on that confirmation. Hey, what happened? And then finally seeing it happen. Oh, okay. So that's exactly what it's like there. So I just had to put that one in there.
So it was beautiful. And I know John's going to have something to say about this, but it was beautiful to actually see Ricketts open his account. Because, you know, we brought him in for a reason. And, you know, he's trying to, I think the coach is trying to figure out exactly where he wants him. Because one match he had him up at striker. And then this match, he just kind of told him run around in the midfield and cause havoc. You know, so it was like, okay, what is Ricketts' role? And I think it's kind of like, dude, just go, be useful.
Well, and at the end of the Indy game, Mark dropped into it like a 4-4-2 and put Ricketts on it. In the back line. So that was interesting to see. One thing, just as far as the difficulty of watching the game from home as opposed to in the stadium, I didn't have the opportunity to quickly look up and see what the assistant referee was doing. Cause I, you know, my first reaction is, oh no, don't tell me that's an offside. And you know, I couldn't see him. But then finally the referee, you know, rode in, you know, and then pointed to the center spot. So, you know, that took a few extra seconds. And it's like, oh, and that was about 1 a.m. for me because I was, you know, everybody else had left and I was finally watching the game. So.
Oh, my God, you could do a We're Soccer Fans off that. We're soccer fans, you know. we'll rewatch that game anytime, day or night, just to get it going. So I know he's moving on. I know Luis is moving on, you know, the closing moments. But I'll tell you what, if you're a diehard soccer fan and you're at the stadium watching this, and I agree with John, the first thing I always do is look at the ARs, you know, for any call, anything, flag up, whatever. I'm looking. No matter what, you have to check, you know, because a lot of people don't realize that, you know, something was offside or there was a foul called or the ball went out. And so you really, if you can, to enjoy the game even more, it's kind of like sitting there with your stat book at a baseball game. That's boring. So you stat everything and that keeps the game moving for you. I know, John, you know what I'm talking about, because I used to do that. I used to stat the games, keep them from being boring. But that's what you do at a soccer game. You watch the assistant referees and you actually watch the center ref to see what he's doing. Did you guys see the dance that the ref did when he was trying to point out, I forget if it was to a Memphis player or to one of our guys, the dance he did where he's like signaling, he was like dancing to try to tell somebody that they'd done something 3 or 4 times and he wasn't having it anymore. And then 2 minutes later, he pulls a card out and I don't know if it was on number 11 or just what, but it was, we were laughing our heads off because John warned us about this official and his yellow card propensity and his propensity for falling for fake fouls. And then he got wise and he stopped calling fouls against us because Memphis was flopping. Anyhow, I think we may have done it too, but then he finally got wise and he stopped, you know, anyhow, keep going, Luis, keep guiding us on the next part of the game that you want to show us.
Yeah, so I have 2 comments, and these are directed towards Rob McAllister in watching replays and all that. First of all, with the goal, shout out to him for actually doing a few seconds of the goal, right? That, like, you usually hear Spanish commentators do. I thought that was cool. You rarely hear it with any English ones, so really cool stuff. I hope he keeps doing that. But another thing, and I hope he stops doing this. So I have a good and a not so good comment here, is at the end of the match, and you guys could go back and look at the replay. We had an opportunity that, you know, could have just defined the game already. I believe it was Cristian Parano moment too. And right, Sharon, it was the 96th minute, literally, I think like just 10 seconds before the game was supposed to end. He pulls a shot, which, yeah, maybe he could have done something different. He could have probably, like, maybe killed some time and all that. And that's exactly what Rob mentions in the replay. He gets a little frustrated, right? He's like, Christian, you could have, like, put it in the corner. You could have killed the game right there. And it's fine for us as fans to say that. But I think as a commentator, especially since you have some Memphis fans that are probably watching this on ESPN Plus, or I don't know if other platforms might also have our feed. as opposed to, I don't know if Memphis has their own feed. Like, we could see when you watch some away games, but, you know, it just doesn't sound as professional. So I probably wouldn't be too much of a fan if I'm commentating on the game, because you want to be respectful with the away fans. And so, so he did that. First time I hear him get a little too passionate, I think, about the situation there, I just wouldn't do that. So, yeah, my two comments.
Yeah, that's funny. If you had said Connor Sutton during that whole time frame and the Connor Sutton chime played, Connor might even tell Rob, you know, because I don't know that Rob listens to us, but if he does, that's actually that's good, you know, constructive feedback. But Christian Pirano, that little dribbling that he did, mm-hmm. We were all in the stands going, holy smokes, he got, you know, one player, two player, you know, he was getting knocked on, but he didn't go down. You know how we used to bag on players that if they got breathed on and they fell down, we hated them because it was like, yeah, you're not mortally wounded. Get back up and play. But Christian was just, he just kept going, man. You know, it was sweet. I just wished he would have hit it harder or, you know, like you said, you know, you could take it to the corner, you can kill the clock, whatnot. But we knew that the whistle was coming literally right after that shot. The whistle was pretty much, you know, it was done. It was over. So I will say our bench had a lot of Academy guys on it. Chibi was on the bench. Blake Willie was on the bench. And I forget who else was on the bench. Rafa came on. And when Rafa came on, he was lighting it up. I mean, you could tell that he wanted to make a point. And when Dami came on, he wanted to make a point. You know, he wanted to make a statement, not a point, but a statement. But altogether, it was really good to get to see the team get the 3 points, get, you know, a single goal scored. Now, I got to tell you, most of the players were pretty cool after the match. You know, they came by and they said hi. I think Ricketts was just happier than anything, you know, everybody. But pretty much all the players finally made their way around. They didn't just stay at TBB. They came down, you know, in front of Section 105 and, you know, did a little interactions with fans. And it was really wonderful. The person who didn't, and he needs to figure this one out, is Trevor. Trevor Amon, you're not going to score every game. You need to still appreciate the fans. This is the largest fan base in the USL Championship, right? Am I right? So yeah. when lose or draw, I know you're frustrated because you haven't scored. You know, you didn't score in the game and you probably got your ankles kicked a lot because that's what they were doing to him and Russell. It's like, it doesn't matter. We still won. There's going to be lessons. It's kind of like, you know, if you didn't win or you didn't score, you'll learn. And Trevor, if you're listening, same with you, Russell, you got to still hang. Well, Russell came and hung with us. You got to still appreciate the fans. We were applauding him as he walked off and he put his head down and just gritted his teeth and walked away, acted as though we didn't exist. You can't do that. That's poor form. So, mm-hmm. Trevor, come on. We're loving you, whether you score or whether you don't. Love us back.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because most of our players that we've had in the past have been, you know, pretty friendly with the fans, including some who shall not be named, but that at some point were actually friendly. So it's like, don't start off this way, right? Because we like the goals and all, but we can't have someone who's not fan-friendly, even if they score goals. And like you said, we are the biggest fan base in USL, and there's more people out here, and certainly the biggest team he's been on, too. So
even Jared Mazzola, the keeper, you know, he's walking back. It's like, hey, way to play backup, Jared. And he did this funny little dance and clapped his hands. And I mean, he realizes, you know, he's not going to start every match.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's a Jared thing. Jared's tend to be pretty friendly, right?
True.
It's a shame Trevor's Trevor, not Jared.
he'll learn. He'll learn. Yeah. You know, he's still.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's still young. I know he's not going to listen to this. I know the guys don't always listen, but if you can coach the guy, coach Trevor to still appreciate, you know, when he gets called out, you know, by us and we're clapping for him, to just ignore the fans. All right. I beat that horse kind of dead. Sorry about that.
Oh yeah.
Well, one teaching lesson, you were saying that there are a lot of our young kids were on the bench. USL has adopted a rule this year that allows the home team to have, I think it's three, maybe four academy level or, you know, young players also dress for the main game so that, you know, they'll most likely just be on the bench, but this way they go through the warmups, they go through, you know, the event, the day, all the day of the event workouts and things. So it gets them used to playing at the higher level.
Oh, and that's
new this year.
But they were actually, they were part of the 18, I think, right? Well, Luis, can you scroll?
Yeah.
You can go up to 20 now.
Oh.
Oh. Well,
if those extra two are academy or under 20s, I think.
Oh, there they are. Luis Gomez. Yeah, Blake Willie and Chibi. Okay. Fair enough.
Well, that's a good rule. I'm glad they did that because it's nice for them to experience that. And also for the coach, right? It's tough to decide what player to leave out if you're going to have an academy guy or wait for injuries to happen, which we don't want that. So don't let the young guys be hoping that there's an injury so they get the chance to even just make it to the bench. And also when you're winning 4-0, 5-0, that's when they can get an opportunity too, right? So it's like if the game lends itself to it.
Exactly.
Guys can get a minute or two at least. So yeah, so that was that 1-0. We continue undefeated, which is always awesome, especially at home. I always say those home games, you got to get the 3 points and then try to at least get a tie when you're away and you're set to qualify for playoffs and to host a home match. If you go through it, if you do the math, a point away from home, 3 points at home, they'll get you to having the ability to host the first playoff match. But in looking at the standings here for the Western Conference, we actually aren't in a first, but again, we are above Uncle Ruckus, although technically on differential, we shouldn't be. Hey, we're not complaining. FOTMOB, Google, even the USL Championship on their website, they have something against Uncle Ruckus, which makes us happy to see. But right now, they have OC in first place with 8 points. We have 8 points. Uncle Ruckus, 8 points. And even OC, I don't know whether they're set in first when really Uncle Ruckus, as much as it hurts to say, like they would actually have to be in first right now. But aside from that, you got New Mexico with 7. The Lights are making a comeback. So Jared's prediction of like, hey, this might be a different Lights is right now maybe on the road to becoming a possibility. They have 6 points, 2 wins and 2 losses. You got the Bay Area teams here, Monterey and Oakland, 5 and 4 points. And then below them, Tulsa, Memphis, Phoenix Rising, just 1-1 out of 4 matches. They have lost 3 games, which is crazy for the defending champions. And then you got El Paso looking like the old El Paso from a few years back where they were low, 1 point out of 4 games. And then the team we're going to be playing against this Saturday in last place. Granted, they've had 3 games played, so they still have 1 more game to catch up to us, but 3 lost. 1 goal scored, 6 against. So something's happening over there, although the team shouldn't treat them any less because we've been surprised by last place teams before. So anything can still happen, especially when you're playing in a place like Colorado that is so unpredictable. You never know what you could be facing there. But thankfully, we have more players that have actually played there. And that's the good thing about having repeat squads season by season, or at least as many of your players as possible. So, yeah, that game's next Saturday, April 6th at 5 p.m. start time. So we're going back to starting games early. So if you're trying to make any plans for Saturday night, make them at 7 or after. But you have your evening freed up after the game there. So there we have it.
Well, yeah, let's just remember that it is a road match. They're going to be playing at Widener Field. So yeah, plan accordingly because they are an hour ahead of California, same time as Arizona. So yeah, let's just remember 5 p.m. Arizona Pacific start time for that match and look for it on the Fox 40 suite of channels, website and whatnot. The next Golazo match that we have is actually going to be later in the month when we play against Loudoun on April 27th. So that match will be on Golazo, but we still got a couple weeks away from it. And as far as the standings go, Colorado Springs, I wouldn't really worry about messing the bed this early because this is only the fourth week of the season. One fan base that I will advise may want to get a couple clean sheets, maybe some Fabuloso or whatever, is going to be Phoenix, because in 4 weeks' time, they scored one goal. I mean, granted, they got their lone win with that goal, but still, you want to have more goals to your name than just one, especially having broken the almost the 1 month mark of the season. I mean, here you go. You got losses by Birmingham, losses by Monterey, and New Mexico, especially New Mexico, that this what would have been the old Four Corners Cup for Real Monarchs left. And then you got FC Tulsa coming in that playing them. So you might want to start worrying, Phoenix Rising fans. That championship hangover is a son of a you know what. I'll tell you that right now. But as far as this coming week, you know, Colorado Springs, we can't treat it like a trap game. I mean, we got to expect them to come out with nowhere. Who knows? They may end up pulling Malik onto the pitch or a Duke. I mean, they're still available for Colorado Springs. So you got to keep that in mind.
Duke's been playing.
Yeah, I just haven't really seen a whole lot of noise. Maybe he's been getting minutes, but you know, like for such a big name from the Open Cup team, you would think Colorado Springs would hype him up more often. I mean, him and Malik.
Yeah, and Sharon's favorite, Swivelhead Mahoney, too, right?
Swivelhead Mahoney. God, I hope he's not listening to that, but it's true. Swivelhead Mahoney. Yeah, we could take a lesson in Swivelhead from that man. So I don't rule out Colorado Springs at all at home in altitude. We suck at altitude. Sorry, guys, but we've not done well when we've had to play Colorado, I think, except for once. But anyhow, I digress. We need to have 90 minutes of concentration. It's hard for us to do that at altitude. We don't get a chance to train. The weather is always kind of iffy. I can't wait to the podcast winter dinner predictions before we go on to talking about Huddersfield Town and the situation that they're in. But when you're ready to talk about that stuff, I think no one's going to like me for my prediction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's go ahead and move on to podcast winter dinner. And sorry, Jared, we got to talk about what happened in this last game. In which
my whistle.
Oh, you look for that. I actually got a point from that. I was the only one that got the point because I predicted Memphis getting the first yellow card and the ref came through and once again gave an away side a yellow card two times that it's happened in these two home games that we've had this season. So it's looking like, hey, maybe refs might be doing a little better, you know, whereas Sharon and Jared thought it would be Sac Republic that would get the first one. They didn't say that. I was the only one that got the point. Jared did guess a goal score, but it was the backup one, as we mentioned earlier. So that was that. And we actually just found out that Sharon was an associate referee in 1984. So,
That's why I blew my whistle on Jared. Let me give him a yellow card.
Oh,
Jared's for dissent. Jared gets a yellow card for dissent.
Maron, giving me the adjective with authority. Oh,
I am so sorry, Jared.
So as we mentioned earlier, Jared got the right goal score, but it was the backup score, and had it not been for Sharon, I would have given Jared a point. Although, granted, we would have seen the spreadsheet because this was me before I saw it, and that point would have been reversed there. So, close, Jared. We didn't decide on the rule, maybe being as like two potential scorers. I don't know, that could maybe later on change. I don't think Sharon would want to do that right now, especially because the standings aren't favoring Sharon this time. So I'm leading the way 5 points. Jared has 3 and Sharon has 2.
Well, at least I'm still in it.
Yeah. So Sharon made sure that Jared didn't get close to me. and didn't get too far from her already, because that would have been a 2-point advantage there that would have taken maybe a week to catch up to. But let's go ahead and predict for this upcoming game against Colorado. And Sharon, you said that no one would like you for it, so let's just go ahead and let us know what it'll be.
I don't have us losing, but I don't have us winning. I have us tying 1-1 because it's altitude, and I don't know that we've ever been good at scoring goals in altitude. I'm going to keep going with Trevor as my scorer, and I'm going to pick Russell if Trevor, for some reason, is out or injured and doesn't play. And then my assist is going to be Nick, and I'm going to keep riding the roulette, red 22 for Sack being the first yellow.
All right. Okay, Jared, who do you have?
Let's see, since I've got to put this in with the legality and whatnot.
Oh, God. Rules. Do you want another yellow card? I hear dissent in your voice.
Oh, watch out, Jared. That could be a red card. So.
Yeah. Remember, I was an associate ref, and I have a yellow card.
Oh, you showed it technically. I don't know if that, I want to count that as a double yellow.
Just mute him. Let me just put the mute on him.
Jeez. All right, let's see. So for the score, I'm going to go the 2-1 Republic. They eke out a win in the high elevations.
I hope you're right.
For the main scorer, it's going to be a hard one. I'll just go with Jonathan Ricketts this time as the main one this time, just in case. And as far as the backup, which should Jonathan Ricketts not appear on the pitch at all, then I am going to go with Shane Wheat for the backup.
He's not even seen any minutes.
Never know.
Okay.
I mean, nonetheless, as far as assist, I am going to go. It's going to be a difficult one.
Alder.
Alder sounds good, but I think I'm going to go with Roro this time. So Roro with the assist. First yellow is going to be against Colorado Springs.
All right. Well, I think we are also going to tie, but I think it's going to be a 2-2 tie. First goal scorer, I'm going to go with someone different. I don't know if I'm going to Trevor, Russell. I'm actually going to go with Roro this time. If he doesn't see the pitch, then I will actually go with Trevor. And then first assist, I'm going to go with Jack. He's my assist leader, so I'm going to go back with him. And first yellow card, I think this time we get the first yellow card because we're playing away. So it'll be a little different here. So, yeah. John, you want to share what yours are?
I'm going to be the ultimate optimist in this one. They haven't scored hardly anything, Sack, during this last month. Basically, averaging one per game. I think they're going to break out. And against a team that has only given, who hasn't scored any goals other than one game also. They're very similar to Phoenix in that respect. So I'm going to say 3-0, Sack.
Right on, John. I want you to be so right.
And then I have Russell with Jack as the backup. And here you either go with Jack or Roro because they touch the ball most when they've got, they're taking the free kicks and stuff. So I'm going to go Roro. And then I have Colorado taking it first.
I love our spread here. You know, Roro had the assist for Ricketts. I almost feel like changing, but I'm not. I'll just keep it as Nick, even though Nick wasn't my assist leader. I think I picked Roro as my assist leader.
Oh, no, you picked Jack as your assist leader. Just like
I don't know that I only picked him. Yeah, I picked him one time. No, two times as my assist. Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Yeah, and so there you go. Different yellow cards. There will be a point given at least, or maybe potentially 2 points here at the very least there. And we all know Shane will be the first to score the goal. And then we'll have to, go to VAR again. So keep that in mind for that. But It's been a few weeks since we've heard an update, and it is our sibling team, and things are looking a bit dicey right now. Hopefully they can change their ways. So Huddersfield Town, not that many games left. We're in that last final stretch of the season where you could pull the calculator out, do the math, and figure out what is needed to stay one more season in the championship, which is our hope that they are able to continue on. And of course, ultimate goal is to go to Premier League, of course, for all the teams there. So John, go ahead and let us know how Huddersfield Town has been doing and what do they need to make sure that they stay in championship?
Well, they are on a 6-game winless streak. Another one. They've had a number of ties in those 6 games, but that doesn't help when the teams around you are winning. So, you know, basically you're losing 2 points. So I think they've probably lost four to six points over the last 6 games. You know, maybe another couple. So that's been their problem, is that they just can't hold on to a lead or just, you know, last Friday, they looked like they were going to have a decent game to start. It came out really well, really aggressive, you know, hit the post, you know, 2-3 times. Next thing you know, Haji and his buddies stick 2 goals in and it goes 2-0 for most of the game. And then Huddersfield thinks that they've gotten back in it at 2-1 and quickly give up the third. So, and then this morning was just, you talk about herky jerky games. This one, the other, everybody was, you could hear fans booing from both the visitor and the home section. It just, the ball, Huddersfield was trying to do its best initially, first half, actually got up 1-0. And then they, you know, Stoke put on the press and really started making things tough and basically took over the second half. Fortunately, Huddersfield only gave up 1 goal and they should have won in the last, what was the 86th minute. But one of their guys got a little selfish and instead of a simple pass to a wide open guy in the middle of the net, he tried to go short, you know, short post, and you know, yes, he was only, you know, 6-8 feet away, but he wasn't going to get it past the keeper. So they, you know, they're calling for that guy to have his head removed, and you know, the English fans are brutal. So it's kind of fun to listen to what they have to say. So now we have 6 games left, 18 points remaining. They go against teams that are 19th, 8th, 12th, 15th, 20th, and 1, and first in the table. And so 18 are available. If they were on good form, 11 points would not be unreasonable. But I have a strange feeling they're going to end up with at the most 5. And if they go only 5 points against the wrong teams, then they're going to be relegated. The only nice thing is Plymouth has taken a dive. They have lost, I think, 6 in a row. So, and we can always hope. Oh, okay, there is one tie in there. Birmingham is another one that, you know, we can only hope. But they pulled one out today. It's like how in the world they do that, and they did it against the team now that's now rated 8. So it's, we'll have to see how that goes. So there's some encouraging, the play is encouraging in many cases, but it doesn't last the whole 90. And, you know, again, the EFL, the whole 102, 103 minutes that it usually occurs. So, you know, they've got to stay on it. They really have to have, they don't have a, even with the 2 new 9s that they brought in, they don't really have a 9, and that's what they really need. You know, Radulovic actually got a goal today, and so that was kind of nice to see. He was one of the specialty 9s that they brought in. So again, I find it interesting how some of the players are disappearing that, and you know, had been very active. Not, you know, I don't know if it's the new coach and his new style, or whether or not, you know, they're just going through the motions. But I have, you know, hopefully that's not what they're doing. But they've got to take care of something in the next three games, so that they can, when they take on, I think they take on Birmingham. Yeah, Birmingham at their last home game, home match, and then at the end, last game of the season, it's in Ipswich, and they are in first place, and they are on a roll, and they will be fighting for promotion. And so the question is,
what are the points right now? What points does Ipswich have? Have they pretty much have it in the bag?
They're going to be at least in the playoffs.
Right.
But they need to hold on and either have Leicester or Leeds take. If Leicester has been diving, and so that's, you know, that's kind of interesting after leading almost the entire year. If Ipswich could be more than 3 points ahead of Leicester for that last game, then it'll just be a party game.
That's what I was hoping for. You know, if Ipswich has it in the bag, then they might just throw their scrubs on the field against, you know, Huddersfield and just see what happens.
Yeah, that again, it's the last home game for Ipswich, obviously. So I don't know what they, whether or not they're playing the game before.
Because if they play at home, then they're going to start their starters so that the big applause can happen and blah,
exactly.
Blah, blah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh.
But they won't be, they'll be going 80% for the most part. So
yeah,
that's the nice thing about that. So there's always that hope. But again, you know, win the next, you know, win over the next three games and you get yourself out of relegation.
Mm-hmm.
Add 9 points here in the next 3 to 5 games and probably out. So, you know, again, you got to get, you know, you're going to find most people are at least on social media are falling into the, we're being relegated, but you're finally hearing some others starting to stand up and go, hey, we don't give up. Don't give up. The only problem is Plymouth is probably going to hire Warnick is what we keep hearing. And so that'll put a charge into them.
Oh, that's going to be one of those interesting situations. So that happens, especially considering they're just 1 point away from Huddersfield. Yeah.
Yep. And considering he only lasted 3 games at Aberdeen.
So, well, yeah.
Thank you, John. Thank you for that. And, you know, one wonders, I mean, we know that our owner has dumped a ton of money at Huddersfield. And, you know, that begs the question, and a lot of people have this question of, if that much money is being spent on Huddersfield, why not so much on Sac Republic Stadium situation? And I'm hearing that there is rumblings, and hopefully we'll get some news soon about that. And I think it's all going to be positive. I think people are going to enjoy, well, hopefully enjoy, you know, nothing is for certain, but I'm hearing rumblings again that things are moving. So let's just cross our fingers that we actually get a stadium, because I'm looking for couches.
And I heard about a week ago a comment from Mayor Steinberg on the stadium too. And it looks like they're still talking about having a stadium that could be expandable if needed for MLS, when you hear that, you're like, oh, okay, I guess there's still someone thinking about that. And I guess it could be a bigger stadium than what we imagined, or that possibility is there, right? If you have it, then there's probably something there. Otherwise, you wouldn't make it expandable, because there is an added cost, you know, to making it expandable, I'm sure. So, yeah. So hopefully we find out soon. I know we are saying this on April Fool's, but that is not an April Fool's thing. Sharon heard it much earlier, right? You didn't hear it today, right, Sharon?
No. No.
Okay.
No. Just go ahead, John.
I was going to say, remember the original stadium announcement that was made a long time ago, and the TBB guys were the ones reminded us today, was made on April 1st. And a lot of us were, you know, on social media at that time, we're going, is this an April Fool's joke or what? And we got reassured that it wasn't, but it seemed to have fallen into, you know, a late April Fool's joke. So, you know, we're talking about it again, and it's April Fool's again. So I don't know.
I know, right? That's when the quails joke came out many, many years ago. What was that, 2015 or 16? Yeah, that came out on April Fool's, and then it kind of stuck for a while, but it's kind of worn off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least that came into fruition with the whole quails kit and merchandise related to it. So at least that came true from April Fool's. So let's hope this does as well. I mean, favorably, of course.
Well, there's the vlog, All Is Quail. So, you know, it's still out there.
Well, not only that, the new Sacramento stickers has a quail on them.
Oh.
So the newbies are over at the club are, you know, keeping that alive.
I will say I love the newbies. I love all the newbies, and I love some of the oldies. There's been a sweet little shift. And I'm enjoying the shift.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. Not everything is perfect. SeatGeek is driving me batty. And I know Justin Dubois listens to this, and I know he's behind the scenes working out. I tried to exchange my tickets on my own because I didn't use two of them. And I was trying to push them forward. And in doing so, I found out how to do it. It took me about a half hour to figure out how to do it. And then when I finally figured it out, and I went to push them forward to a game, it showed me that there were two seats available, field 14, and that's it. Two seats. And it's like, I know that there's a ton of seats in 104, 105. So actually my ticket rep helped me out, and there was tons of seats available. It just didn't show up for me to do it myself.
Yeah. So. And the only other problem I have, I mean, the problem I have with them is in their distribution of information, and they put out the things about their, you know, all their good deeds in the community, but they put their marketing stuff at the top of that email or the top of that notice. Put that at the bottom, don't send out, you know, buy season tickets on every single thing you send out. Why don't you send it out every third one? You know, there are a lot of us who want to read the, you know, what's going on with the club are tired of having to go through, you know, the first half of an email talking about buying season tickets. Hey, in my case, I already got them.
Yeah, they might want to explore the possibility of doing different newsletters, right, for season members and for non-season members. So, hey, if they want some marketing advice, they can always contact me and... I'll give them some help with that, because they shouldn't do that. And if they just want to keep it a one, I agree. Yeah, you got to start with the things that the team is doing for the community. And then if you want to mention any other marketing stuff, put it at the bottom, right? People want to see what the team has going on, not just get sold to. So yeah, good point.
I think operationally, these guys are humming. They're doing a really good job. And I know the tickets sales help to drive it. But come on, guys. You know
your audience.
that's part of it. Know your audience. And, you know, you should also probably, when you have jerseys, take another look at how they look on the field when the cameras are rolling. Because when the primary jersey was out there, it looked like it was Phoenix playing somebody the other night. So, you know, the jerseys don't really show well under the lights.
You know, that's a good point. And it's funny because, you know, how we have that, the slash of the red shoulder on one side, and then it's the Old Glory red everywhere else. And the shorts are Old Glory red. They're kind of boring. I would have repeated that slash opposite. So you'd have like a slash of the bright red on the shorts going diagonally the other way. So you end up with, you know, Old Glory red is in this much, and then you've got that bright red, and then that bright red. I would have, looking at it when I was watching the players playing, it's like, why didn't they just make it? Oh, well, anyhow, that's just my opinion.
And also, can we get rid of the whole, 90% font, and then it switches to that weird looking font that they have in so much of the marketing? I mean, it hurts my eyes trying to read that.
Yeah, the words are hard. They're, for our age, it's hard to see what the word is supposed to be.
Know the audience, and especially for those of us that don't exactly have perfect 20/20 vision or have some visual situations. I mean, to try to figure out what the word reads with that.
Yeah, like look there.
Yeah, the wavy font, the letters that are kind of like twisted, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take the wavy font any day.
Yeah.
Wavy font, yeah.
But twisted, the Sacramento, where the A is off to the side, and
because the one I'm talking about, that wavy font is fine. I mean, it's just like as if we're doing a CAPTCHA session, something like that. But in some of the marketing, they'll have like most of the word in one font, but then they'll pick random letters to be like italic and cursive or whatever it is, anything like that. It's just
there. It is.
Yeah.
Exactly. There we go.
Oh
yeah.
That arriving in style is like what? It's river? No, Arving?
Arriving and stay. Yeah, no, I agree with Jared. Yes, just and they use it in different things. The match day, you got the C in a different font, the A in a different font, the Matt HD Y in a different font. Yeah, it's out of control sometimes.
Keep it in one font or just do words in entire fonts, not this splitting words into different fonts. I mean, it's painful to the eyes.
Yeah, no, you make a good point. I don't think I've ever seen graphic design with three different fonts in one word, right? It makes your head hurt at times. Yeah. I would say, yeah, because you're trying to figure out, is this a CAPTCHA? Or you're right, Jared, it is like a CAPTCHA thing. You got to verify.
It's just aggravating the acute glaucoma and making me thankful I got my card finally.
It's like, Sac Republic, we are not robots. I can promise you that, right?
There
you have it. There's that recap. I will say for April Fools, you guys forgot to mention that one time when the team said that we were going to have the bear as a mascot. I wish that they would make that a reality. So here's another marketing tip for the marketing team. Maybe it doesn't happen this season, but have the bear as a mascot or have a giant quail, whatever. Have a mascot out there because that's what could represent you when you're not at games, right? The mascot could be at other places, at Rivercats games, the Hornet games, at Sac State, just different events throughout town. I mean, that's you need a mascot. And I put on the bear. That's just me.
We already have two. We got two of them. They're not official, but we got two of them. I mean, we got Creek Bear out in the East Coast, holding it down in the eastern part of the country. And of course, we got our Rave Bear as well. So I think what you mean is an official bear mascot, possibly.
Yeah, the only issue is that the Rave Bear is now Dr. Rave Bear. So it's going to be a little expensive for the team to get him out to games or to, not to games, cheap. To places.
Yeah. Dude's not cheap.
See, you're paying for quality, though. I mean, outstanding quality. And not just the goodies that he brings to the tailgate either.
Oh God, let's not talk about that. But they are good. April 13th, next game. Everybody needs to come tailgate because we're going to be celebrating a lot of birthdays. So try to get there early on April 13th, next home match. I know we're going to just talk about that. So if you're so inclined, oh my God, my cat's going to fall.
Oh.
Please come to the tailgate on April 13. I think she fell.
Oh, okay. No.
I don't see my cat. Sorry.
We didn't hear anything, so maybe.
Yeah, usually you don't.
Oh.
Okay. I lost the cat. She's wedged between my desk and the wall, and there's no room. She fell.
Well, this time Jared didn't have to see her then, so. She didn't make it back there. Oh, we heard that.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Well, podcast cats always having to make an appearance, even if they're not on the camera itself. Well, any last final parting words? Thank you, John, again, as usual, for joining us here on the podcast and giving us the updates on Huddersfield. And hopefully there's better hope that they can actually save themselves. And they have games for sure. I mean, you nailed it right. There's definitely the possibility to save. It's nothing too crazy. So, yeah, any last final words, John, Sharon, Jared?
The only thing I could say is just watch again. Watch Trevor get bullied again. I think they're, after the first couple games, I think the word went out to, you know, tell them, hey, this is the championship, boy. You know, this isn't Division One anymore. So they have been hitting them hard, and he in return has been hitting them back. So he needs to just do what he can do and not get upset about it.
That's funny, John. I would say that, and go Republic. But I would say, if he's drawn the players, the defenders, guess who's open? Russell. You know, so Russell, take advantage of the fact that Trevor's getting double teamed and triple teamed, and they're shutting him down. So be looking for the squirt, you know, the ball that squirts out to you. And Trevor, don't think you have to do everything, man. You've got guys behind you. You've got Nick, you've got Roe, you've got Jack. You've got players that can, you draw it in, lay it off. And Russell, same thing goes for you. I love you. You don't have to do everything. You can actually, you know, let others do the work. You're going to be drawing players the same because you were our highest scorer last season. And so I'm sure you've heard this left and right from everybody, your teammates and from Mark, but you've got great guys around you. You know, draw your defenders in and let somebody else get that goal. Or if it's on, score. Get some goals, guys. Go Republic. Yeah.
We need to score.
Absolutely. I mean, whether Russell, whether it be Trevor, maybe Jonathan again, somebody, you know, just create more opportunities. Let's work on finishing the shots. You know, like I know it's been something I've been harping on the past few seasons, but let's finish those opportunities in the attacking zone. That'll get us more goals. That'll put us in the driver's seat of the Western Conference, maybe even the league, and go Republic.
Yeah, and just like Trevor mentioned with Trevor, don't get so frustrated if you don't score a goal. I think he just got used to scoring in those first two games that he thought, I'm going to be scoring every single match. And also a message out, not just to Trevor, but any new player that we have now that we'll have in the future, whatever, or that maybe hasn't played yet, but you'll get some minutes soon. Make sure that you go and thank the fans, win, tie, or lose. People pay a lot to go to games. There's a lot of expenses that happen, you know, in the game, getting to the game, after the game. Like, there's a lot of things that people spend on, and tickets have gone up over the years, right? We've noticed the shift in pricing. SeatGeek is still charging the fees that I think Ticketmaster was charging as well. So just make sure that you take that time, because it's not cheap for people to get to games. Even if people go for free, they still have expenses. You still have to pay for parking. So a lot goes with it too. So just make sure you go out there and thank them, especially the fans that stick around after the game, because after you lose a game, it's never easy to still be around. There's a lot of people that will just leave. So just be out there and just thank the people for being there. And, you know, it's just the simple things, you know, it doesn't take too much. And we've had great players that have done that. So let's keep having those kinds of players that are grateful for the fans. And go Republic. Jared, you unmuted? Okay, I'll make sure there was anything else. Well, again, thank you so much, everyone, for listening to the podcast as usual. If you're not familiar with our website, go check it out, sacsoccerpod.com. You can listen to the podcast there as well. And with that being said, y'all, have a good morning or night whenever you're listening to us. And you'll hear us next week here on State of the Republic podcast.
Cue the music.
Cool. So that was that, but really glad that you guys had...
I was not muted. Sorry, I didn't mean to cough during the middle of your thing.
I thought you were going to be like, Makuni's doesn't have sushi burritos, so you might want to say something else.
Yeah, Makuni's doesn't have sushi burritos, but anyhow.
They should, though. They should. If anyone knows, you know, If Taro is listening by any chance, hey, he could actually do that, which we might have him as a guest here on State of the Food sometime, because he's such an iconic person in the Sacramento area for restaurants. So hopefully we can have him as a guest. He's on our list of guests to have here soon. But